fishing all the time. Maybe going fishing too.
I'll bet you are going fishing, or at least some of us are going fishing, and who knows, maybe Leaf and I will encourage you to go fishing. It's time for the Fishing Report. Hey, Leaf.
Hey, how's it going, Depp?
It is good with me. I'm kind of curious about you, though. Clearly, things are different out there in the water world. I mean, yeah. I've been driving by a lot of the main stem on my way to work every day.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of high there for a while.
It was pumping. Yeah. It was pumping. You know, when it hit 18,600, I was really not thinking that was going to be the best we could do, and I was mm-hmm. I was fingers crossed hoping for about 20,000 mm-hmm. you know, and sure enough it spiked back up again to 19.6, 19.7
almost,
and I'm gonna call it there for the year unless something really super crazy unless it's like 90 degrees and raining for 5 to 6 days.
Okay, so you think that's maybe going to be a high point?
Well,
you look at the weather and you keep thinking, okay, we're round the bend, you know, and and it would take a lot of rain with warm to get anything more to come down. And
we don't need much more than that. You know, 20,000 is kind of a good mark. It's the mark where it starts moving the river around a little bit, kind of freshening things up, scouring out some of those holes that maybe started to fill in. Mm-hmm. Although I did hear just the other day, my buddy was coming back into town, and he took the back road up and saw that the braids, instead of being straight like they become nicely for us last year, are starting to braid again, and they're piling up with logs. So that's that stretch that's about a third of the way between Twisp and Carlton. So it looks like it's starting to collect there again,
all,
and it's starting to split into multiple pieces.
You'd rather have it shoot on through there?
Well, I mean, I'd rather it did whatever it wants, but for us, it's going to be easier if it's if it's a straighter route. It's been splitting into five, and it's had like log jams that are hard for people to navigate. I know some person got stuck out there a number of years ago and had to be rescued.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
well,
it can be tough.
I see what you're saying. You're talking about basically navigating through it.
Yeah, just stream blocking ones are tough sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
but that's just for us. That's a human complaint.
I was going to say, the fish
you can only
take
those so far.
Yeah, the fish are digging that.
But you know, I mean, it's going to be one of those years where July 1st is coming in August 1st, and that the river is going to be staying at that high level until at least about August 1st that you're not really used to fishing. Mm-hmm. It'll be back down into that normal fishable shape for most folks by then. And it'll be fishable, you know, here in a few weeks, but it'll be a different type of fishable. It'll be a fishable where you got to kind of have definitely some oar skills, and one where you're going to have to switch up your strategies, either heavy nymphing or some streamers. And then also, before you know it, it'll turn into dry fly time here too, because it's a lot of the bugs are terrestrial here. A lot of their stuff comes from above too.
Okay. So
one way that you can kind of get your moving water fix in.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah,
I'm trying to
hit these tributaries. You know, I mean, there's Cedar Creek.
That's a good idea.
Boulder Creek. Some of these are going to be kind of high still. Mm-hmm. I might head up towards Black Lake. You know, when I last talked about it, I was talking about fishing Black Lake itself, but Lake Creek coming out of there can be just stupendous. It's got great, beautiful fishable pools and large fish in there too.
Yeah.
So it's really good Tenkara water. I can't recommend it enough.
Well, you know, it's funny because I mean, fly fishing now has a type of, popularity, people think of it as, and people see these big, huge, like river runs through it casts. Yeah. You know, these beautiful. Truthfully, I don't even know how to do those casts.
Oh yeah, well,
I've always fished those little teeny creeks, and you got no
more like cane pulling.
Yeah, I mean, you got no back cast.
Yeah,
you got no room. It's just basically kinda just sort of slingshot it out there and.
Yeah. Whatever works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, every different situation
but I love
dictate
those,
different approach.
But I love those little creeks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're real pretty.
I do, too.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, when I went up to Mission Ponds a little while ago and fished the outflowing creek there, that thing was awesome like that, too. You know, there's just a lot of smaller stuff, you know, and Buttermilk Creek, for that matter, can be really good. It was raging last time I saw it, but a lot of these things are going to be coming down. And look for the ones that kind of run longer and flatter. You know, like North Lake Creek there, North Creek and Lake Creek. That one's definitely a very flat one. I mean, when I go into Black Lake, a lot of the time you got to leave early in the morning or late at night because it's so flat and kind of like stuffy in there. But but the fishing in those pools is unparalleled. And I've scored tons of more L's on my way in there before too. So you might trifecta.
Wasn't it North or Lake where you went fishing with one of my grandkids and introduced him to Big Jim?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was this Memorial Day weekend we got to fish together, and
where was that?
Clearly, you know, Mr. Stratman in the Cub Club class is doing him some good out there. Cool. Big ups to him and the tying class that he does there at the school. We went up and went to my buddy's lake, and I had a chance to get him in the boat. I kind of saw him over there slogging in the mud, so I went and grabbed him, and I just threw on a little balance leech about a foot or two underneath the indicator. I've been seeing all these fish at the mouth of this creek, and so I just plopped it, or, you know, I told him, hey, put it over there. He did all the work himself and just tossed it out there. He had a couple grabs and misses, one shake off, and then locked into just this 4 or 5 pound just toad. And they were just exploding out of the water, too. And he did such a good job, you know. I told him, don't touch the reel unless you're going to reel. And like 2 or 3 different times, he didn't. He let it rip out a bunch of line and then retrieved and let it rip. And it was about the fourth one. They just held on about a half second too long, and it just bound up and pow, popped him off. But he turned around with a big grin on his face, and he's like, man, that was a big fish. I said, I know, buddy, huh?
I was so happy when I heard that story. Chicane, I think he's, well.
He was focused. He was
any of my grandsons would love
intense,
it.
Intense, like his dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once they get focused, they're just like, don't talk to me. I'm going to get this.
Well, and, you know, I always feel like kids should have some kind of love of fishing. I don't really care what it is, you know, but it's just a great thing to do when you're a kid.
It's a great thing for kids. And
grown-ups, too.
Yeah. Oh, everybody. But we got to grow that next generation for sure, because like with all these things, it's all about having representation. And if there's not people out wanting to take advantage of these resources, then they could just all of a sudden be gone.
That can happen.
But, you know, lakes around here that are good right now, I had a trip out to Frost with a client. Mm-hmm. We did okay. It was a little bit busy, though. Had another trip down to Rat Lake with another client. We did phenomenally. We did a half day down there, got nearly 20 fish out of that thing.
Whoa.
You know, most they were all rainbows, but I know there are some brown trout in there. Mm-hmm. It's a 10,000 rainbow plant per year, 1,000 brown trout. And so there's always that chance of catching those guys, probably in the wee hours in the morning or at night, and probably for sure towards the fall here. It'll have a little lull in the middle of the summer here, like all these lakes, where it'll be too hot and we should be out on the river anyway, or up in the high country. But again, in the fall, go to that one too, for sure.
Okay. So you have hit lakes. We're waiting for rivers.
Yep.
But you're also busy on a couple of different outreach projects.
Yeah.
I know we got one this Saturday, but another new one. You want to talk about that one?
Yeah, we got a lady with the it's the Backcountry Hunters and Fishers Association. It's this group of folks that just make sure that we have those opportunities to be back there hunting and fishing. Mm-hmm. Which goes along with like the WDFW streamlining of rules right now, where they're kind of, I mean, I don't know that they're directly related to this right now, but it should bear in mind that they have been trying to simplify our rules in these tributaries too. Mm-hmm. So we could be losing access to these tributaries because it'd be easier for them to close them rather than list all of them that are open or closed. So they also might be one of these groups that would help us out in this. Mm-hmm. So I'll be going up to see what they got to say. It's going to be at the OSB. So that'll be kind of nice.
Okay.
Be able to, it's called a sip a pint, and be able to have a few beers, talk about what they have going. It'll be on the 15th at 6 o'clock up there at the OSB.
It's a Thursday?
I don't have my calendar in front of me. I have a date.
I think it is a Thursday. Anyway, the 15th.
Yeah, so they'll be doing that, and it looks like, I don't have a day on that one, just the date. But yeah, our next thing that we'll be doing will be down there at the side channel with John Crandall down there at his awesome little re-enhancement project that he's got going at the Old Twist Highway.
I should mention this is going to be Saturday the 3rd, and it may be over when you hear this because we record this and we play it for a few days afterwards. But yeah, if you're hearing it, prior to 10 o'clock or anyway, 10 to 2 on Saturday the 3rd.
Definitely get your kids to that one because we'll be doing some fly casting there. We'll be showing them how to identify some bugs, and we'll be showing them how to tie those bugs, too, and how to present them to those fish in a way that'll make them want to bite for them. And that'll be a great event for them. I know that they're also inviting the parents down there or, or adults to plant some trees.
And yeah, there's that going
just
on.
Just kind of keep that thing getting better and better. And then the next Saturday, we have another awesome fishing event with Kids Fishing Day. And I believe the 10th?
Yes, that's the 10th.
Saturday the 10th is National Fishing Day. And so I'll be up there as well helping out on that day. We'll be down at the National Fish Hatchery's Lunker Pond, catching some big old lunker fish with those kids. Yeah. It's a super fun time. Some of those fish are tagged, so kids can not only have the experience of a lifetime catching a big fish, but they might win a prize, too. A lot of times they win a new fishing pole, so they might be able to just turn around and head up to Perigin right after that and keep on fishing.
Keep on fishing.
So, yeah, if anybody needs any information about this or any other thing we're talking about, if you want to book a trip or you just need some fishing tips, get a hold of me at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com. Give me a call at 509-429-7298 or check out the blog or podcast at flyfishersproshop.com. Till I see y'all again, keep that sun on your skin, keep taking care of each other, and get that fish right on.
Sing me the fish pipes if you got good bit. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. With my pole, mama, and my line, I'm fishing. My mama's gonna fishing and the baby gonna